and let us turn in our hymn books as we continue our praising and worshiping of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And there's so much that we have to be thankful for. Let's turn our hymn book, 393, There Shall Be Showers of Blessing, 393. I'm going to ask Paul to come to help on his violin. Pray for our piano player. She is in Virginia right now with her husband, and she found she has there's a mass in her abdomen. And so let's pray for her. Her name is Mimi. And so, Paul, would you come and play on your violin? Thank you. And so pray for Sister Mimi and Jerry, as they're down in Virginia. They have surgery scheduled for October 18th. And so they look forward to coming back with us soon. And so pray for them. 393 in the blue hymn book. Let's all stand together as we sing this song, if you're physically able to. If you're not physically able to, you can stay seated as we worship the Lord. And the Lord will give you strength. He'll give you grace to bear any infirmity that you have this morning. We serve a loving God who takes care of us every day. 393. There shall be showers of blessing.
There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of God. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing.
Sing that third verse.
There shall be showers.
On the chorus.
There shall be showers of blessing if we but trust and obey. There shall be seasons refreshing if we let God have His way.
Everyone!
Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we
believe that. Say amen.
Amen.
The Lord is a prayer answering God, and He just wants us to pray to Him, and He will pour out His showers of blessing upon
amen.
Us. Let us bow together in prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for You this morning, for waking us up this morning, for getting us on our way, for giving us life, breath, and health. We thank You for each one that is here this morning. Lord, we thank You so much that You are a prayer answering God, and that You are a loving God, And you have sent your Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sinful souls. Lord, we know that we are in need of you today, Lord, and we thank you that you have helped us to get here this morning. We pray you now feed us with the warm bread of heaven from your word. Amen. And that you would just help us with whatever we're going through this morning, whatever problems, trials, tribulations, discouragements, perhaps weaknesses. Lord, whatever it is that we lack, Lord, we know that you have in abundance, amen, that your strength is so wonderful. Lord, I pray you'd meet our needs this morning spiritually, as well as physically, as well as emotionally, as well as mentally, whatever our needs are, that you'd meet with us. Lord, we know that you have what we need. And we pray you just be with those who are not feeling well today, that you put your healing hands upon them. We thank you that Sister Patty is here with us, and thank you that she only has 4 more chemo treatments, Lord. We pray that these chemo treatments would fully eradicate this cancer, Lord. Take it out of her body. We thank you that you are healing her in a great and mighty way. Lord, what an answer. What a great divine appointment this is to see your divine hand in her body and in her life, Lord. We thank you that she's now wanting to volunteer at that very same cancer place in the hospital to tell others what you have done for her, and most importantly, how they can come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the trying days that we live in, Lord, we thank you so much. You are raising up your servants to minister, Lord. We thank you for the ministries you give to each one of us. Lord, help us to take up our ministry with a great and loving hand, Lord, that we may perform it for the best of to the best of our ability for your honor and glory and praise. We pray for our missionaries out in the foreign field, that you'd bless them as they preach the word of God and see souls saved and coming to Jesus and growing in you. Lord, we pray you just help them. Bless the largest in Nicaragua as they're here in the States reporting. We pray that you'd bless them as they come with us in 2 weeks to report. You just give them just a great time here of encouragement. Pray to also be with the Kellers in Ukraine at this time amongst the different things that they start and plant a church there among Brother Keller's wife's parents' area. Lord, I pray you just raise up a church that souls would be saved and Christians would grow. We pray for as well the Bruners in the Philippines. You bless them as they continue to preach your gospel there, that the 3 churches they planted, they would grow and flourish. And we pray for our church here as we perform our outreaches, Lord. In your strength, you bless each one. Bless the Atlantic Ministry and Atlantic Adult Day Center here in Northfield. Bless the Caring Ministry in Pleasantville. You bless that service, church service we have over there each Wednesday at 12:15. You just bless that and help it to grow. And help. We thank you for the many who've gotten saved and who are just loving to come each week to praise and worship you. And pray for the Meadowview Nursing Home service at 2:00, Lord, on Wednesday. We pray, bless that service and help those who are there, that you just encourage them. Thank you for Brother Thomas and the encouragement he's been to me over there, and thank you that he's doing better. We pray you just be as well with the Good News Club at the school here. We pray you bless that ministry as we start that in a month, that the souls would be saved and those kids would grow in you. And we pray you to bless each one of us, Lord, for your honor and glory. And we pray for Roy Gibson this morning. We pray for our other shut-ins, that you just minister to them, that raise them up, bring them back out with us. We thank you for Sister Essie being here today, and thank you that you're healing her. And we pray for each one. We thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Let us turn in our hymn book once again. The focus today, the topic is on prayer. 238. I Must Tell Jesus, 238. And I believe there's so much so much untapped power that God just wants to unleash and give upon us if we will just come to him in prayer. And that's the focus of today. And I believe that God's put that here for a reason. And we have so many things in our life that need changing. Well, we have a prayer and changing God, a God that changes all things. If we will just come to him. 238, let's sing this song together and praise the Lord this morning.
I must tell Jesus all of my trials.
that fourth verse, and men join on the chorus.
Oh,
reading. We're going to have our deacon, Wellington Hodge, come and read part of this passage for us. Psalm 78 is where we are. We're going through the book of Psalms. It's a book of corporate worship, of praising the Lord together. Psalm 78, and we're going to continue this chapter, verse 13 through 25. Psalm 78, 13 to 25, and when you have found it, if you could please stand with us for the reading of God's Word this morning. Psalm 78, 13 to 25.
Let us stand together as we honor God's words as it is read. Everyone has it? Let's begin. We read it responsibly. I read 13, you 14, then we go on to the end, to 25. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand as a heap.
In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire.
He carved the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink, as out of the great deeps.
He brought streams also out of the rock, and caused waters to run down like rivers.
And they sinned yet more against him, by provoking the Most High in the wilderness.
And they tempted God in their hearts, by asking meat for their lusts.
Yea, they spake against God. They said, Can God furnish a table in the wilderness?
Behold, he smote the rock, that the waters gushed out, and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people?
Therefore the Lord heard this, and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel.
Because they believed not in God, trusted not in his salvation.
Though he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven,
and had rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them of the corn of heaven.
Together, on 25, man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat for the full. May God bless to our hearts his words. You may be seated.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Hodge. What a blessing to know that God sent them angels' food. Next time we are tempted to complain against our food, you know, Lord, I wish I had something different. Well, let's be thankful for what we have, because there are many people in other lands and countries that don't have much at all. And they'd give anything to have the meals that we have. So let us pray for them, and especially those down in the Bahamas. We pray for them and ask God to just bless them with all their needs and provisions, and that let us give as we can to be a blessing to them. And God has truly blessed us. There is not really anyone here in the United States that can say that God hasn't blessed them that we live in a land of abundance, and we're so thankful for it. Let us direct your attention to our bulletin. Does anyone need a bulletin? Raise your hand. We'll get one to you. We'll ask our ushers to help out and hand out the bulletin. Visitors with us. Good to have each one of you here. We're glad that you're here with us this morning. And it's a blessing to see some return visitors as well. And we're so thankful for you. It's good to have Peggy's family here with us from Florida, from the Panhandle area, Florida. And they came for perfect vacation here. How hot is it down there in Florida at this time?
Oh, we have a heat wave through,
and
their rain
was too bad. Oh, wow. Okay. So we'll pray for you for rain down there. Yeah, we finally got ours last night. You probably heard that. That was real close, that storm. So, but God kept us safe, and thank you, Eric. Appreciate that. He kept us safe, and we're thankful, and we'll pray for rain for Florida. That's important, yes. And then it's good to have William and JoJo with us. Welcome, William and JoJo. From Summers Point, good to have you with us, and it was a blessing meeting William on Monday, and we had a great time together, and did a little Bible study, and just a nice time, and so very good to have William and JoJo with us. Then it's good to have Nancy and Michelle and Heather and Mike, or John, Heather and John with us this morning. Good to have you back with us. And then on this side, it's good to have Cheryl and Ebony. Welcome back, Cheryl and Ebony. And just a blessing to see them again, and we know that God is going to do great things for them, and thankful. Ebony's going off to college here in February, looking forward to that. So glad that they are here with us this morning. And just by way of announcements, we want to direct your attention to the bulletin. Keep praying for Mimi. She found out this week, our piano player, that she has a mass in her abdomen, so she's going to have surgery in Virginia there. They moved up from Virginia, but they have their doctors still down there, and he's going to do surgery on October 18th. So let us pray for Mimi, for that mass, that it would not be cancerous, number one. Number two, that they can get it out very efficiently, easily, and without damage. So let us pray for Mimi, Umflett, and Jerry as well. Then also keep praying for baby Grayson. He's doing better, a little bit better each day. He's a five-month-old baby whose esophagus was very weak, and his lungs were weak, so he's having trouble expelling. So praise the Lord that he's doing a little better each day. Then pray for Maisie. She is in the hospital again, so keep her in prayer. Pray for Pastor Logan. He is not. He was hoping to be back by today, but he's still doing part of his roof down there in Virginia. So pray for Pastor Logan that he will be back for next Sunday, and pray for his safety as well, and for the others that we are missing this morning as well. Just by way of other announcements, we have a special conference next Sunday. We're starting our family conference and our missions conference, and this will be evangelist Josh Engel and his wife Krista. They're coming in from Indiana, and he's going to be preaching to us. Sunday morning will be family topics. You know how God wants to bless our families. How much do we need that in today's day and age? We need God to bless our families, and we need specific areas of help from the Word of God. So Brother Josh is going to preach God's Word regarding family matters, and then on Sunday night on missions, then on Monday night on family matters again, family topics, and then Tuesday night we're going to have a special international missions dinner. We have a lot of different ladies cooking up dishes from all over the world. So we have a lot of the world going to be represented next Tuesday night at 5:30. So come on out with us and enjoy. We haven't done a missions dinner in a long time, so it's good to have it back again here at our church. And we look forward to hopefully doing this again next fall. And just have a nice time just thanking God for our missionaries, praying for them, learning a little bit more about them, and just enjoying good food and fellowship from around the world. That's next Tuesday night at 5:30, Tuesday, October 8th. And then Wednesday night will again be family topics. So let us come on out. There's more flyers on the back table. Invite your friends, your family members to come and say, hey, listen, you need to come because God has all the answers that you need in life. And God can change things in your life. And God's a prayer-answering God. And He's in the business of changing lives. And so invite them out for these special meetings so that they can come. And if they're not saved, that they can come to trust Christ as Savior. And if they are saved, that they can grow in the Lord in some area. That I believe God's going to just pour out His showers of blessing upon us next Sunday and next week. So let us do our part, which is inviting people to come, because we all need help. You know, there's not one of us sitting here or standing here today that doesn't need some kind of help in our family and some kind of help that we are hurting in some area. So we need God to just shower upon us His blessing and His direction from His Word. And I believe that we'll see a lot of neat things happen next week. Then, just by way of other announcements, we invite you back tonight for our evening worship service at 7 p.m. We're looking at 1 Samuel 16, how David was prudent in matters. The Lord is with him. That's what we need in life, is we need the Lord to be with us. And we're going to look at how we can get the Lord to be with us tonight. So come on out tonight, 7 o'clock, for that evening service, 7 to 8 o'clock. Then we do have a brief ushers and greeters meeting this morning after we greet one another, and we're just gonna stay for a little bit to have a brief ushers and greeters meeting. Then our third quarter business meeting is there, as well as on the back page we're gonna have a special harvest party and campfire Friday night, October 25th. We're gonna celebrate the true reason for the season, which is not ghouls and goblins and those kind of things, but the real reason for the season is the beautiful harvest that God has given. You know, He's given us all the crops that we enjoy, all the fruits and vegetables, and all the beautiful, you know, fall colors, the browns, the oranges, the reds, the yellows. How many are already have some of your trees changing colors? Okay. Yes, it's beautiful to see those changing colors. Well, God's the one who paints all that. You realize He's the best painter around. Yeah, you know, all you have to do is drive down the road and you see all the beautiful colors. That's God's handiwork. He's showing us how much He loves us. You know, He could have made the leaves just go from green to brown and dead. But He didn't. Why? Because He stopped the chlorophyll so that the leaves can then show their true color, which is the deep reds, the yellows, the oranges. That's the true leaves color. But when the chlorophyll is flowing in, it's green. Okay? So it gives them that green color. So God just wants to show us, hey, you know, these are my colors, you know, I made them all. And I want you to enjoy my handiwork. Aren't you glad we have such a loving God that just showers upon us His every day? We can see visually that He loves us by looking at His creation. So I invite you out for that harvest party and campfire night, and we're going to have some good food. Bring some concession food if you want. Bring some you know, hot dogs or nachos, cheese, pies, goodies. And we'll have a good time that night at 6:30 p.m. And then our next ladies' Bible study is there October 19th. Great time of encouragement with ladies to get together. And then our men's study will be later on. This time we'll ask our ushers to come as we give to the Lord of our tithes and offerings this morning. God says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, and see if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And God promises that He will meet our needs if we'll just give first to Him. Let us bow together in prayer. Brother Hodge, would you lead us?
Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you this morning for the blessings of being in your house to worship you, Lord.
Amen.
And this time, Lord, to give back a portion. What you have given to us,
amen.
Our gifts, and our help come from you above. Father, we ask you to bless the gifts given this morning, and to give that you have to bless them and double for what they have given. Father, to you we give the glory and praise and thanks for supplying all our needs, both the physical and the financial needs. And to you, Lord, we give the glory, praise, and thanks in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. turn back into our hymn books as we sing one more song, 317. What a friend we have in Jesus. Let's all stand together as we sing this wonderful hymn of praise to God. What a friend we have in Jesus. 317, let's all stand together. If you're physically able to, if you're not, just stay seated. 317. Singing, He is our best friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. We'll have our youth choir come up at this time, led by Mrs. Gibson for our special music. Thank you. he's taken care of each one of those young people, isn't it?
Amen.
Yesterday, took the 6th through 12th graders to a sister church of ours in Pennsylvania for a teen rally. There was a teen jamboree, and we just had a great time. Kids, why don't you share one of the blessings of that? Go ahead, Zamora. It was an underground church, so they had to pretend they're groups of four. They were underground Christians, and they had to run from the government and the police, and they were in ancient day Rome, and they'd go to the different Christians who had pieces of the Bible and clues to the next meeting place. So it was really exciting. Really exciting. Who else wants to share? Yes, Zion. Amen. Good. Made new friends. Anyone else? Lydia. Amen. Good. Some of the teens surrendered their life to the Lord, whatever the Lord wanted them to do. That was a huge highlight. Good. We had three young men and three teen young ladies that we took down there. Four. And then, Paul, why don't you share something about that? A lot of our group got the right answers for the different questions in Genesis, and so that was neat. All right, let us turn our Bibles. We'll dismiss our young people, those sixth grade and younger, to go for youth church as well as toddler church. Appreciate prayer from my wife and Elizabeth. She is almost out of the 2-week point. She had her tonsils and adenoids taken out, so that's why my wife and the three youngest girls are not with us. Elizabeth, she just had her tonsils and adenoids out, so they said keep her home for 2 weeks, then you can take her out. So this Wednesday will be the 2-week mark. So we thank the Lord. She's healing well. It's a hard procedure. They had to put her out for it, but thankful everything went real well. 40-minute surgery, and so everything went real well. Thankful for that. So pray for my wife and the three youngest, Elizabeth, Abby, and Faith, as they are at home. And she looks forward to coming over after service. Then let's turn our Bibles this morning. We're looking at a very important topic. I believe something we need next week, if God is going to just move among us in a great mighty way for that family and missions conference and just bring revival to us as a church and as Christians, that we need this very important, I believe, sometimes missing ingredient in our lives. Let's turn to 1 Samuel 12:23. 1 Samuel 12:23. This is perhaps the reason why we don't see great movings of God, perhaps since the 60s, the 70s, whatever the latest revivals have been, or since some other period, that we don't see as big of movings of God. Why is that? Well, I believe there's a missing ingredient. Can you imagine this morning with me, picture in your mind's eye a community where people were just giving in to every type of vice known to man, drinking, drugs, immorality, just giving in to every type of sin, where the demons were just having a heyday and laughing it up, and where the devil was just knew he didn't have to be there much because the people and the demons were doing the work, and where Christians were slumbering and sleeping, and where no one really seemed to care for that community. Why? Because the Christians were asleep. They were not spending time with Jesus in prayer. As Jesus said to his disciples, Peter, James, and John, will you not watch and pray with me 1 hour? And they fell asleep. And I believe that any community where there's not Christians praying and burdened And having compassion on people is a community where that's going on today, where the demons and the devil are having the victory. And let us pray that that is not our community today. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to meet with you this morning. We pray that you would meet with us, that as Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. We know that Jesus is here, but we pray not just that he would be here, but we pray that the power of the Holy Ghost would be here as well. Lord, that you would be free to move in and through us, in our hearts, to work and to prompt and to convict as needed, Lord. We know that any church will only be a church of little power if there is little prayer. Lord, I pray that you would help us to learn and grow this morning, that we'd be a people of much prayer, that we can see you do great and mighty things here at Northfield Baptist, here in South Jersey, in Atlantic County, and all over this United States, that you would help us to do great things for you. Amen. Through our dependence upon you in prayer this morning. Help us, Lord. Teach us, we pray. Fill me with thy Spirit, that I may be your mouthpiece. Lord, fill each one of us with your Spirit, that we may be hearers and doers of the word this morning. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Samuel 12 and verse 23, we read of a situation where Samuel is there with God's people. He is there with Israel. And he says in 1 Samuel 12 and verse 23, they had just asked of God a king. They said, Samuel, give us a king. And Samuel said in verse 20, Samuel said unto the people, fear not, ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord. That they had done this wickedness in asking a king of God and of Samuel. Yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart, and turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Here we see this morning that as the leader of God's people, Samuel as the prophet of God, that it is a sin to not pray for the people of God. And he said, I'm not going to do that. I'm God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. And that's what I desire to be as a pastor. I desire to be a pastor of prayer that prays for the people, that prays for the people of this church, that prays for our community. And that's what Samuel said. I don't want to sin against God in ceasing to pray for you. Well, here we see, number one this morning, that we all need to be prayer moving Christians. We need to be praying Christians. In Revelation 5 and verse 8, we see a very interesting scene. Let's turn over there. The very last book in the Bible, Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8. We see a very interesting scene. This is chapter 5 and onward in Revelation deals with after the rapture, after the snatching away of the saints up to heaven. Okay, that's the next event on God's timetable, is the rapture of the church, the rapture of all believers, that we're going to be raptured, taken up to heaven. Amen. And that can happen any day. And so we see in chapter 4, you say, how do you know? Well, chapters 1 through 3 talk about the church age, the seven churches of Asia, which is kind of a representation of different churches all through church history, the last 2,000 years. And we can find our church in perhaps bits and pieces of those churches. And then in chapter 4 it says in verse 1, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. So So here we have chapter 4, verse 1, the trumpet sound. So that's, you know, that's the from chapter 4 on out is the tribulation period. That's what dealing with the 7-year tribulation. And then the last two chapters deal with the new heavens, the new earth, and the new Jerusalem. So wonderful things. Well, here in chapter 5 and verse 8, I believe the Lord wants us to look into the future to get a picture and perspective of the present. That Revelation is there to show us, hey, we're on the winning side if you know Jesus as Savior. If you don't know Jesus as Savior yet, you're not on the winning side. If you're on the devil's side, if you're in your flesh side, and if you're just living for yourself, guess what? You're on the losing side. It's time to turn over your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Time to say, Lord, please forgive me of my sins. God says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God says, the wages of sin is death. God says because we're sinners, we don't deserve heaven. We deserve judgment in the lake of fire, which is a very real place. It's a place where Jesus gave us many descriptive adjectives. It's a furnace of fire. It's a place of outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Hell is a lake of fire. Hell is a place where there's no relief anymore. And where people who go there, where their worm dieth not, that means they're never gonna cease to exist. They're going to keep burning and burning and burning. And hell was not created for you and I. Hell, as God says in Matthew 25:41, it says hell was created for the devil and his angels, which are the fallen angels, which are the demons. And so hell is not made for you and I. So please don't go to hell when you die. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. Jesus came to take your place there on the cross of Calvary. He came to die. You say, well, what connection does Jesus have with me? Well, he's God's only son. He's God's only begotten son. He's equal with God, yet he left heaven's throne room to come to this sin-cursed earth to take our place. Right. For our lies, our cheats, our stealing, our disobedience, our rebellion, our wicked thoughts, our wicked actions, and our wicked words, Jesus died in our place. He is our substitute. So Jesus died and shed his blood there on Calvary, and he's the only one who could. 2,000 years ago, our calendar is built upon Jesus Christ. You realize that? He was born 0 AD. He died about 30 AD. And our whole calendar is based upon him. And the day that he died, it says from 12 noon to 3 o'clock, the whole earth went dark. Why? And everyone's looking around and saying, what's going on today? What's happening? This is an eclipse. What's going on? Was because God's Son, Jesus, was bearing the wrath for our sins. He was taking your place that day 2,000 years ago on Calvary so you and I could be saved. And so God says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So Jesus died in your place. He's giving you a free gift. Then they took his body off the cross after he said, it is finished. And he gave up the ghost. And they put his body in that tomb. And then 3 days later, he rose from the grave. Victorious over sin, death, and hell. So we don't serve someone who's powerless. We serve a living God who's seated at the right hand of God. Amen. This morning. He's making intercession for you. And he wants you to come to him for salvation. And so here we see in Revelation 5, if you're on Jesus' side, if you know him as your Savior, you're on the winning side this morning. Amen. Revelation 5, verse 8, we see, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Up in the throne room of God, that one of the beautiful things that's going to take place up there is that they have a golden vials full of odors, sweet smelling savors. And if when we get up to heaven, we're going to smell the incense around heaven. What is that sweet smell? Oh, I love heaven. Oh, I love to be with God, and I love to be with Jesus. And oh, look at all these wonderful saints of the Old Testament, the New Testament, and our family members and our friends who came to Christ. And we're all going to be rejoicing up there, but we're going to be smelling a really sweet smell. Wow, what is that? I've never smelled anything like that in my life. God's going to say, that's your prayers that you have uttered through your life before my throne. That's the prayers that you and I have uttered. The prayers that we prayed for ourselves. The prayers we prayed for others. The prayers we prayed for the church. The prayers we prayed for lost people to get saved. The prayers we prayed for our needs and for God's glory and honor. All those prayers, guess what? That's what we're going to be smelling up in heaven. And so it's going to be such a wonderful place. It's just going to be so wonderful and so beautiful and so marvelous to our eyes. Let's go to Revelation 8:3. Another, as we look into the throne room of God up in heaven. Revelation 8:3, it says, "And another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer." That's one of those special things to burn incense. "And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and earthquake and lightnings and an earthquake." Here we see that once again the prayers of God's people is going to be the sweet savor of heaven. And so we need to see, number one this morning, prayer knits the hearts of the Christian to God's people. Prayer knits the hearts of the Christian to God's people. Do you realize that this morning, that God wants to knit our hearts together to worship Him and to have close communion with His children and to desire to be in the presence of God's people at church each week? Well, one of the ways that we get knitted together here on earth to get closer to each other so we can get closer to God, one of the ways that that's done is through the prayers of God's saints. The prayers that you and I need to be praying, Christians, so that our hearts can be knit together with other Christians. Okay, so we see perhaps you feel distant from your family members. Perhaps you feel distant from your friends. Perhaps you feel distant from someone else. Well, the way we can get close with them again is by praying for them. "My love for people grows as I pray with them and for them. Praying for others is an act of divine love. It is a privilege to pray for one another, but it is also our responsibility." Let's go to Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12. Back a few books from Revelation. If you don't know where Colossians is, there's a table of contents in the front of your Bible that has listing of the Old and New Testament books. It's in the New Testament. It's a small book with four chapters. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12. One of the epistles of Paul. And so he says, "Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in what? Prayers. That ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God." Do you realize that this morning? I'm just going to ask teenagers, if you have a cell phone, I encourage you to put it right under your seat there. That way it's not a distraction for you. And if you don't have a Bible, you can find a Bible right there in the front, okay? We want to help our teenagers, you know, to get unplugged during church and get into the Word of God, you know? The devil is trying to distract us, you know? I have an app on my phone that has the Bible, and it has the King James Bible on there, and I enjoy listening to that, but there's always a little ad at the bottom. Not only that, but if I try to read it, what else happens? I get a text message. And then that'll pop up. Or I get a phone call. Or something else will get popped up. You know, so what's happening? If we just use our cell phone only as our Bible, we'll get distracted pretty easily. That's why it's good to have a paper Bible. That way, you know what? No text message can come across the pages of my paper Bible. You know, there's just something to be said about the Word of God in a book. And that our new technology cannot replace what we have in the Word of God in a book, bound up in a book. Okay, so here we see Epaphras, he was laboring fervently for you in prayers. That here's a layman, one of the church members, loving on God's people by what? Doing what? By praying. That's what we need to do. You can be a very effective church member if we have the ministry of prayer. Paul said in Romans 10:1, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." If we genuinely love others, we will stand in the gap for them and pray. A heart that loves is a heart that intercedes. The greatest thing you can do for anyone is to pray for them. You know, I find when I pray for my wife and I pray for my children, you know what? I want to come and see them very soon. Why? Because I want to see what God is doing in their life. I want to, hey, you know, if I'm over here at the church or if I'm at work and I'm praying for them, I can't wait to go and be with them. Why? Because I want to see what God's doing, how He's blessing the prayer, what He's doing in their life. And sure enough, you know, just like I was praying for my wife last night, and then I go home and I talk to her, and she comes up with a statement. She said, you know, the Lord, I've been thinking about that. The Lord's been putting this on my heart. And I said, that's amazing. That just shows that our prayers mean a lot to God. There was someone on Wednesday, you know, I was praying for them before one of our outreach services, and I was just praying for them. Lord, just have the victory and bless this person. And you know what? That person came into the service halfway through, and they said, you know, I couldn't stay in there. I just had to come in. Why'd they have to come in? Because someone was praying for them. I believe we can accomplish so much if we will just take some time and pray for each other. And pray for our family. Our first ministry is our family. If we're not praying for our family, who will? The demons in hell love it. The demons, they're not in hell yet, but some of them are in chains. But most of the demons are still active. They love it when we don't pray. Satan loves it when we don't pray, because then they can wreak havoc. You know, but we need to bind the hands of Satan and bind the demons by saying some prayers over our family. We really do. We need to bind the hands of Satan and the devil and his demons by praying not just for our family, praying for our friends, praying for our coworkers, praying for our neighbors, praying for our loved ones and our church. We need to do this. I believe that we're seeing so much just chaos with sin, because we're just not spending enough time in prayer. So we need to see, number one this morning, prayer knits the heart of the Christian to his or her brethren and to his or her family. There is nothing that makes us love a man or woman so much as praying for him. And when you can do this sincerely for any man, you have fitted your soul for the performance of everything that is kind and civil toward him. Said by William Law, a serious call to a devout and holy life. You know what, if we're having trouble with someone, if we're having trouble loving someone, I'm having a tough time loving that person. I'm having a tough time. There's some people that, you know, we just would rather not be around. Well, have you tried praying for them lately? If you pray for them, you know what, you're going to find that God's going to give you a special love. And not only that, but God's going to then help them to not be so cantankerous toward you. Is that amazing? Amen. Our prayer changes their hearts and our hearts. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? That's what we need. You know, that person that just you don't like and you're not getting along with and perhaps doesn't like you that much. You know what? Our prayers can knit our hearts together. They may not even be saved. They may not know Christ, but guess what? Your prayers for them will accomplish so much that they're not going to know where it came from. They're going to say, wow, something's changing. Wow. Why? Because we cannot accomplish in ourselves, through our words, in our power, in our strength, to change someone's mind. We just can't do it. We cannot. Only God can change hearts. Number two, we see number one, prayer knits the heart of the Christian to his or her family and brethren. Number two, not praying for people is sin. Not praying for people is sin. Here we see in 1 Samuel chapter 12:23. Here he says, God forbid that I should cease so that I should sin in ceasing to pray for you. That when we don't pray, when we don't watch with Jesus, when we don't spend time in praying for ourselves and our needs, as Jesus said, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory and the honor forever and ever. Amen." When we don't do that for ourselves each day, for our needs, what are we doing? We're basically saying to God, "God, you know what? I got my own burdens, and I'm going to manage it myself." And so we're carrying this burden around, you know. We're carrying this burden. "Oh, hey, how you doing? I'm doing just fine." Yep. And then tomorrow we don't pray to God, and, "Oh, man, that burden's getting heavier. Hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing great." Yep. "You don't look so well." "Yeah, well, I'm doing okay, you know." And then the next day we don't pray. "Oh, hey, how you doing? You know, I'm struggling. I don't know why I'm struggling, but I'm struggling." Why? Because we haven't given our load to the Lord. And we're just carrying it and carrying it. Well, you know what eventually is going to happen to that Christian? They're going to go like this. "Oh, I can't do it. I can't manage it. And I can't get up." And they're wondering why they can't get up. And they get so discouraged, they stop reading their Bible. They stop going to church. They stop fellowship with Christians. Why? Because they forgot the basics of the Christian life.
Right.
Spending time with God in prayer. "Lord, help me! I need you today! Would you give us this day our daily bread? Lord, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me and help me to forgive others. Lord, I don't want to be unforgiving because I know if I stop forgiving others, then you'll stop forgiving me, and I don't want that in my life. Lord, forgive me. And Lord, help me. Take care of my family. Take care of my church. Take care of my work, my job. Take care of all the things." We need to pray about everything. Why? Amen. Because it just keeps unloading burdens off our life. Why? Because the devil is trying to load us down. "Oh, yeah, don't. Yeah, here's another one for you. Ha, 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 ha. Here's a health infirmity. Ha, ha, ha. An affliction of the devil." The devil loves to give us health problems. He just loves it. He just says, "Hey, I'm going to afflict him here. And I'm going to afflict him over here." And God in his sovereignty allows us to have the health problem. But he allows us to have it so that it draws us back to look up to Christ. Right. I wonder how many of us would be here this morning if we didn't have some kind of health problem, you know? And I'm saying that for myself. I've got my own health problem. I wonder how many of us would be here this morning if we didn't have some kind of health problem. You know, so instead of letting it get us down, and as the devil gave it to us as an infirmity to weaken us and to draw us away from Christ, God's now using it to say, "Hey, my child, I will help you. Look to me today. I will lift you up." And then eventually, as we keep obeying God and praying and reading the Word and going to church, you know what's going to happen with that health problem? It's going to get a little less. And a little less problem with that. And it's going to get a little better. It may not be fully removed, but God is going to give us His grace to be able to bear that health problem, and He'll change things in our life.
Amen.
I've seen that in my own life. That when I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, that health problem is not as big. Why? Because God's helping us with it. And so we need to see that not praying for ourselves and not praying for others, we're just adding burdens, and it's sin. God never intended us to live a Christian life on the ground.
Yeah.
He intended us to live the Christian life with Him. "I am the vine, ye are the branches.
Right.
He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit." We actually declare by our lack of praying that we do not need God. But we declare by our prayers that we need Him. I know of no better thermostat to your spiritual temperature than this, said by Charles Spurgeon, "The measure of the intensity of your prayer." How warm are we this morning? How hot are we for God? Or how cold are we for the Lord this morning? Is the intensity of our prayer. Let's get intense. Let's, you know, if God's convicting you this morning, hey, don't get defeated. Don't get discouraged. Get up and say, "Lord, I want that. I want you to do great things in my life. I want things to change because there's no other way but up from here." You say, I'm at the bottom. Well, guess what? If you're at the bottom, that's a good place to be. Because you can only go up with the Lord. You can only go up with the Lord. Then number three, praying for people displays a Christ-like spirit. It displays a Christ-like spirit. Christ set the example. He interceded for His disciples. He interceded for His enemies. He interceded for the lost. Luke 22:31. Let's turn over there, back a few books from Colossians. Luke chapter 22. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's the beginning of the New Testament. Luke 22:31. Luke 22:31. It says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." How did Peter get to this point that he was getting so discouraged and so distraught by them taking Jesus, and he was too tired to pray at the Garden of Gethsemane, too tired to pray, feeling discouraged, and then not only that, but then they took the Lord from him, and then he tries to cut the servant's ear off, of the high priest, and he cuts his ear off, and Jesus picks up the ear, puts it right back on as if nothing happened. And so Peter, trying to do everything in the arm of his flesh, trying to live the Christian life with his own strength. And you see him failing each time. And then he goes and he says, well, they took the Lord, and I'm not going to forsake the Lord. I'm going to follow after him, but I'm going to follow from a distance. That's always dangerous in the Christian life, when we follow the Lord from a distance. Lord, I don't want to be too close to you this morning. I'll let you do some things in my heart this morning. I'll let you seep in a little bit, but Lord, I don't want to be too close to you, because you may convict me in an area where I don't want it. I'm not ready to give it up. So Lord, I'll follow you from a distance. Well, that's what Peter was doing, living in the arm of the flesh, following from a distance. And then the first person said, "Hey, aren't you one of the 12?" "Yep." No, not me. No, I don't know him. No, and he runs away. Then he follows a little longer to the high priest's house, where they're having this mockery of a trial at midnight. And another lady out by the fire, as he's warming his hands, "Hey, aren't you one of his disciples?" "No, I don't know him. No, no way. I'm not his disciple." And he tries to run away from that. Then he follows at a distance, finally, a third time. And another person says, "Yeah, I know you. You're a Galilean." And he cursed and he swore. And he says, "I know not the man." And then all of a sudden, he heard the cock crow. And all of a sudden, he realized what he had done. He realized he was following the Lord from a distance and trusting in his own flesh to accomplish something. And he failed miserably. And he went out and wept bitterly. And he hung it up. He said, "Oh, that's it. If that's what I'm going to do for God, if that's all I can be for Jesus, I'm done. I'm worthless. I don't mean anything to God." And he went out and he threw the biggest pity party. And for a whole week after, he just said, "No, I'm done." And he said, "I'm going back to fishing." And then after he saw the Lord, and the Lord came in the upper room, they were all encouraged. But Peter was still struggling with that temptation to just say, "You know what, Peter, you're good for nothing. You're good for nothing. What kind of disciple are you? You denied the Lord three times. The devil is just going to whisper things in our ears and keep whispering and whispering and whispering. That's why we need to be in prayer, so we don't hear his voice so loudly. That's why we need to be in the Word, so we hear God's voice more loudly than we hear the devil's voice." Amen. And then after that, Jesus was out on the beach, and Peter says, "That's it, guys. Hey, disciples, guess what? I go a fishing. I'm not a good disciple. I've proven that already in the most important time, and I'm done. I'm going fishing again. I'm just gonna be a fisherman." And so he's out there, and the other ten are like, Peter's our leader. Peter's our outspoken leader. And you know what? If he's going back to fishing, I guess we should all just kind of do those things too. And they were all making plans to leave. And as they're all out fishing, just having sympathy with Peter and his pity party, guess who's making fish on the hot coals on the beach? Jesus. How'd he get the fish? He wasn't in the boat. Oh, Jesus is the master of the fish. He's the master of the waters. And he's out there and he's cooking a nice meal for all of them. And they come in, they've caught, you know, they're catching nothing. They come in, Peter comes and he comes and, oh, this smells so good, Lord. And he said, Peter, come and dine. Come and dine. Disciples, come and dine. And Peter says, Lord, I'll come and I'll eat. And Jesus said, Peter, feed my sheep. And you know, Peter said, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter said, oh, Lord, you know I love you like a brother. I love you like a brother. And Jesus said, well, feed my sheep. He said, oh, Lord, I love you like a brother, but you know what? I just got to go back to fishing. I'm only good at that. See, because he had followed from a distance, his heart was cold. We need to follow not from a distance. We need to get right up to the heart of Jesus. We said, Lord, forgive me for my sins. Lord, I need your voice in my life, and I need to pray to you to stay close to you. Right. See, I know from experience, just reading the Word of God in my life, it's good, but it's only half good. Okay? We can hear the Word of God and we can have His voice in our life, but if we're not praying to Him, we're following from a distance. And that's a dangerous place to be, because then the Holy Spirit can't move and work as He wants to. And the devil is going to come in and tempt us and give us problems, and we're going to be easier prey to the devil if we're not praying as we're reading the Scriptures. So we've got to do both. And if we, as we pray and as we read the Scriptures, it's going to make such an important bind with the Lord and the heart of Jesus that we're going to want to follow closely with Him. It's so wonderful. Praying for people displays a Christ-like spirit. Intercessory prayer is the most perfect form of prayer. It is the prayer Christ prays on His throne. Hebrews 7:25. Seeing Jesus ever liveth to make intercession for them. As we're now praying for our needs and we're praying for other people's needs, guess what's going to start happening? We're going to feel close to God. And not only that, but people are going to start changing right in front of our eyes. Not because we're something great, but because God is something great. God is so great. And He's going to start changing people, and things are going to start changing in our life, and things are going to start changing in their life. And we're going to say, thank you, Lord. I am in awe. I don't know what to say. See, praying for people will then often lead to change. That's so important. So number one, knits hearts. Number two, it's sin not to pray. Number three, it's important to pray intercessory prayer. And number four, God is going to change things. That's so important. We need that so much. How much we need changes in our life. How much the people in our family need changes. How much we all need changes from God. So as we close this morning, as Christians, we cannot change the hearts of people, but God can. God has called us to talk to Him about others. God, He has chosen to use our prayers to accomplish mighty changes in the lives of God's people. And unsaved people. Oswald Smith said, when we work, we work. When we pray, God works. As we see from Colossians 4:12, Epaphras was laboring fervently in prayer night and day. And just asking God to just do things. Let's not just pray for the physical needs of people. You know, Lord, or Pastor, I pray for the physical needs of my family. I pray for the physical needs of my friends. Well, that's good, but that's part of prayer. We need not just pray for their physical needs. We need to pray for their spiritual needs. Amen. Amen. Jesus, if you look at His prayers, you know, in John 17, if you look at Jesus' prayers for His disciples, if you look at Paul's prayers in the Bible, what is he concerned with? That their hearts might be drawn to the Lord. That their hearts might be confirmed and standing complete in Christ. Epaphras, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. As we look at all the different prayers, that guess what? They're spiritual prayers. That's what we need to pray for each other. Not pray for the physical needs, pray for our daily needs, but also pray for the spiritual needs. If someone's not saved, pray for that. Pray for them to be saved. Oh, I prayed for that for 10 years, Pastor. You don't understand. I prayed for 10 years and nothing's happened, so I kind of haven't prayed for that in a long time anymore, for my loved one. Well, guess what? Sometimes it takes many years. Sometimes it takes a real moving of God in a sudden moment, and all of a sudden their heart is all of a sudden open. Right. You don't know what God is doing behind the scenes while you pray, what He's doing to change the circumstances of their life to bring them to Himself. I remember as a kid praying for Ed Gessner. We prayed for 20, 30 years for Ed Gessner to get saved. Guess what? I had the privilege, right in that fellowship hall about 10 years ago, 11 years ago, to talk with Ed Gessner during a dinner and to share with Ed Gessner the simple plan of salvation and for Ed Gessner to pray and trust Christ as Savior. And from then on, I'd always talk to Carolyn, hey, how are you guys doing? Great. Ed and I went to church today. You couldn't get that man in church for 30 years. You couldn't get him away from the beer that he would drink. You couldn't get that man. He was a good man. He did a lot for people. Kind person. But you couldn't get that man in church if you gave him $1,000. But guess what? When he got saved, that man wanted to go to church. Amen. You couldn't keep him away from church. And that's what God is going to do. Years of praying. But a lot of times it's just a cataclysmic event that happens in their life, and all of a sudden, boom, their switch is on. And all of a sudden, now they're wanting someone to tell them about Christ. And God brings in that person, brings in that family member, brings in that Christian, and presents the gospel, and they say, yes. See, let us not stop praying for unsaved people. God accomplishes so much when we pray. Those that have left the deepest impression on the sin-cursed earth have been men and women of prayer. D.L. Moody. Not just the Bible. They, many Christians are substantive on the Bible and love the Bible, but they're not the ones that are most effective. The ones that are most effective are the ones that love the Bible, preach it, but also are deep in prayer. That's where we find the power of God when you put both together. Power of God. And what the church needs today is not more machinery or better new organizations or more and novel methods, but men and women whom the Holy Ghost can use. People of prayer, people mighty in prayer. E.M. Bounds. I'd like every head bowed, every eye closed as we close this service this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Perhaps you're here this morning and say, Pastor Rice, you know, I don't know 100% for sure. If I were to die today, that I would go to heaven and not to hell. But I would like to know that today. I would like to know Jesus as my Savior, that He who died for me, that I want to open my heart to Him today and believe on Him as my Savior. If that's you, just slip up your hand quickly, quietly, right there, receive. Say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to be saved. I want to know the Lord. I won't embarrass you. I won't call you out or anything like that, but I'll give you a simple invitation to go right to the back of the room. As we have our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you don't know for sure if you're saved, slip right out of your seat and go right to the back of the room. We have church members who will be there waiting with their Bibles to show you how, in a private room, how you can know Christ as your Savior. If that's you, just slip right to the back at this time. You say, Pastor, I don't know if I'm saved, but I would like to be saved. Just slip right to the back of the room. As a Christian, you say, Pastor, I'm saved already. I know the Lord. But the Lord is working in my heart this morning that I need to take up the mantle of prayer more consistently in my life. And I want to see God do great things. I'm tired of being defeated in my thoughts, of thinking nothing will change. I see this morning that everything can change if I will pray. And I want to do that this morning. If that's you, just slip up your hand. Click the fire right there. Receive. Amen. Amen. Hands all over the building. Amen. Amen. God bless. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time to be reminded of this so important part of our Christian life. Lord, I pray that this week would be a week of victory in our life as we spend time with You after the service, praying for ourselves, praying for others, praying for growth, praying for success in the Christian life, Lord, that we would just see You work in a great and mighty way, praying for healing in our bodies. Lord, we thank you so much that you are a prayer-answering God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn in our hymn books as we close this service. Simple hymn of invitation hymn. If you need to come for any reason, if you want to come and just kneel at the altar and say, Lord, I want you this morning. I want to give you my heart. Lord, I want to give you my prayers. Would you come and make it public? Be an encouragement to someone around you, and that may get them down the aisle. And it may get them going on fire for the Lord. Would you come this morning as we sing this song? Hymn number 425, My Faith Looks Up to Thee. 425, and let us all stand together as we sing. If you're not saved, would you come down the aisle as well and say, Pastor, I want to trust Christ as my Savior. I want to be born again. I want the Lord to be in my life. If that's you, just slip down the aisle, come take me by the hand, say, Pastor, that's me. As a Christian, would you come and kneel at the altar this morning? Let us sing this song, 425.
My faith looks up to thee.
Specific time giving requests, spiritual and physical need requests, and then praying for them, praying through our prayer list. So come on back Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, for that special time together. Let us close in prayer.
This time, and Brother Wells,
would you close?